right back. I know most of the crew want to. Get the government receiving station on the sender and tell them what we found, and that we... He staggered. The first atomic shell had struck the ship, spinning it around. The captain fell to the floor, crashing into the control table. Papers and instruments rained down on him. As he started to his feet, the second shell struck. The ceiling cracked open. Struts and girders twisted and bent. The ship shuddered, falling suddenly down, then righting itself as automatic controls took over. Captain lay on the floor by the smashed control board. In the corner, Nasha struggled to free herself from the debris. Outside, the men were already sealing the gaping leaks in the side of the ship, through which the precious air was rushing, dissipating into the void beyond.
"Help me!" Doral was shouting. "Fire over here! Wiring ignited!"
Two men came running. Tance watched helplessly, his eyeglasses broken and bent.
"So there is life here after all," he said, half to himself. "But how could..."
"Give us a hand," Vollmer said, hurrying past. "Give us a hand. We've got to land the ship." It was night. Few stars glinted above them, winking through the drifting silt that blew across the surface of the planet. Doral peered out, frowning. What a place to be stuck in. He resumed his work, hammering the bent metal hull of the ship back into place. He was wearing a pressure suit. There were still many small leaks, and radioactive particles from the atmosphere had already found their way into the ship. Nasha and Fulmar were sitting at the table in the control room, pale and solemn, studying the inventory lists.
"Low on carbohydrates," Fulmar said. "We can break down the stored fats if we want to, but..."
"I wonder if we could find anything outside." Nasha went to the window. "How unnerving it looks."
She paced back and forth, very slender and small, her face dark with fatigue.
"What do you suppose an exploring party would find?"
Fulmar shrugged. "Not much. Maybe a few weeds growing in cracks here and there. Nothing we could use. Anything that would adapt to this environment would be toxic, lethal." Nasha paused, rubbing her cheek. There was a deep scratch there, still red and swollen.
"Then how do you explain it? According to our theory, the inhabitants must have died in their skins, fried like yams. But who fired on us? Somebody detected us, made a decision, aimed a gun."
"And gauged the distance,"
the captain said feebly from the cot in the corner. He turned toward them.
"That's the part that worries me. The first shell put us out of commission. The second almost destroyed us. They were well aimed. Perfectly aimed. We're not such an easy target."
"True," Fulmar nodded. "Well, perhaps we'll know the answer before we leave here. What a strange situation. All our reasoning tells us that no life could exist. The whole planet burned dry, the atmosphere itself gone, completely poisoned."
"Gun that fired the projectile survived," Nasha said. "Why not people?"
"It's not the same. Metal doesn't need air to breathe. Metal doesn't get leukemia from radioactive particles. Metal doesn't need food and water."
There was silence.
"A paradox,"
Nasha said.
"Anyhow, in the morning I think we should send out a search party. And meanwhile, we should keep on trying to get the ship in condition for the trip back."
"It'll be days before we can take off," Fulmar said. "We should keep every man working here. We can't afford to send out a party."
Nasha smiled a little. "We'll send you in the first party. Maybe you can discover what it was you were so interested in.
Legumes. Edible legumes.
Maybe you can find some of them, only..."
"Only what?"
"Only watch out. They fired on us once without even knowing who we were or what we came for. Do you suppose that they fought with each other? Perhaps they couldn't imagine anyone being friendly under any circumstances. What a strange evolutionary trait. Interspecies warfare, fighting within the race."
"We'll know in the morning," Fulmar said. "Let's get some sleep." Sun came up, chill and austere.